So I'm very, very happy to see you. A lot is happening, and it's kind of hard to catch up 16 weeks in a short amount of time. But I do have a question for you, all right? So here's my question. Have a look on the screen. Does anyone know where this church is? Armidale, all right. Any other guesses? Anyone been to this church? All right, so this is the Warhope Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this is inside. And it's interesting because the man inside, that's Pastor Uriah St. Just, and he is the new pastor of Dora Creek. So when the church was opened in 2014, the previous pastor was Pastor Danny Melikov. Everyone knows Danny. Then Pastor Uriah. Then the conference president 7 years ago was Pastor Justin Lawman. And then the incoming pastor was Pastor David Cosmire. Now, David Cosmire is going to be the pastor at Lakeside, and I am going to be the pastor at Warhope. So that information has been under embargo till today at 11 o'clock because Pastor David Cosmire is making that announcement at Warhope Church and also at his other church, Camden Haven. Now, I've never been to these churches, but I am excited to be appointed to Warhope and the Camden Haven Church, and that's little Camden Haven Church there. And apparently, Google Maps tells me that they are 26.6 kilometres apart and it takes 23 minutes to get there. So we're kind of excited about this because we've been looking for property in that area for the last 18 months. So God has been very, very good to us. Things are moving very quickly now. Our house is on the market and the first viewing will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Apparently it's going to be thunderstorms. And so if you can say a few prayers for us, we would like to have a property in the future where people can come and stay with us as their needs are. And there'll be free rent and board. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Especially on Zoom. I shouldn't have said really free because you have to work the gardens to have a free night. But I think that's fair enough. And the condition is you work the gardens, but you don't eat anything until we see how much has been grown. So these are some plans and some dreams that we have, and God is really good. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Holy Spirit, I want to thank you, Father, this morning for Dora Creek Church. I want to thank you, Lord, that we can come back as a church family and be here together in church, and also that we can be together on Zoom. I pray a blessing on the worshippers in the sanctuary. I also pray, Lord, that your blessing will rest on those who are watching us via digital means. We know some of our church family today are at Hamilton Church for a very special baby dedication with the Sheeman and Higgins family, and we would ask, God, that your blessing would rest on them as well. We think of our young people, Lord, out in the hall, and we thank you for their vibrancy and the way that they were very determined to come straight back to church as soon as they could. And Lord, that's been a blessing to bring us all back as well. So Father, we ask that you'll cleanse us from sin, put us under the blood of Jesus and make us totally right with you. And we ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Let all the people say, Amen. Friends, I've got some good news and bad news for you this morning. The good news is that this is not going to be a long sermon. If you like long sermons, then last Wednesday night we had the message in the prophecy seminar on Babylon, modern Babylon, ancient Babylon, modern Babylon, and that was an hour and 35 minutes. I think that's the longest I went. But I did change it from my presentation on Tuesday night, and I added in some extra proofs that what we've been preaching and teaching is actually coming true now. And people told me they really appreciated that I brought the modern Babylon stuff that we were, you know, I was teaching the prophecy seminar in 2011 at Gosford. And as I've gone back over the material, what I was preaching as prophecy is now being fulfilled. So I got very, very excited because I said 10 years ago, I do not understand really how America is going to be able to promote the work of the Church of Rome around the world. I don't understand that's how that's going to happen. Friends, hello, what are we seeing? We're seeing President Biden, who is a dedicated Church of Rome man, and he has a very good friend in the Vatican, doesn't he? And without going into all of that, friends, this is the time that the prophets wrote about. This is John the Revelator. This is the time. And I don't think anyone will accuse me of being a false prophet. I think that things are racing ahead. And I do believe that God will have to come back soon and his son Jesus Christ and rescue us from what's going on. So this morning, I'm just going to take a little bit over 25 minutes. What is the most important topic we could preach on? Everyone will have a different answer. But my answer this morning is that I believe the most important topic we can preach on is on Jesus Christ. What do you say? Have you often felt alone? Have you ever stood on the seashore and gazed out into the water? Have you ever asked yourself, who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? How can I find someone who will listen to me, understand me, and even walk with me? Friends, each one of us feels alone at times. We experience this loneliness as a deep yearning within us, a yearning that will not let us rest in peace. We feel this deep restlessness to know and to be known, to reach out and feel the heartbeat of something or someone beyond ourselves, maybe even someone called God. So often we feel torn apart, struggling on the battlefields of life, struggling to see dreams and hopes come true, but then seeing them turn into broken bits of glass that keep hurting our memories for years, for life. It's almost like overnight we see dreams of the future evaporate into thin air. And so we must let the wars rage within us, and we must let the yearning for peace remain just a fervent longing. After all, this is the common lot of man. This must be. Or is it? Is there a way to real peace? A way to lasting joy that comes from knowing that you are one with the universe and that you are one with God? So friends, I'm going to ask you to open your swords with me this morning to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Thank you so much for opening your swords with me right now to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. If you're digital, then please join me on the screen. What did Paul write to the church in Rome? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. These are beautiful, beautiful, powerful words. And the scripture says, being justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, do you believe that? Answer me. Do you believe that? Friends, when you and I exert faith beyond what we're seeing here in this time of crisis, then we can walk across water. God will make the impossible possible. Are you living that? My sister sent me a text and asked me to memorize it. It's from the woman of God, and this is what she wrote. We need to talk faith, act faith, live faith. Have you got that? Talk, act, and live, that we might have an increase of faith, that we might become the sons and daughters of God. I burned that into my brain. And every time a thought of doubt or discouragement comes, I quote those little verses and they bring me hope and encouragement. And you know what? As I exert faith, God builds on that foundation. He builds that faith and I am able to go forward in greater faith. Friends, there is someone who knows the way to peace and harmony. And that beautiful person is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves you unconditionally, the one who created you. And I'm telling you today that he is the only way to peace and harmony. Whatever the world's offering you, it doesn't work. You know, I've tried materialism and I'm trying to downsize my house. My two garages are full of junk. And the real estate agent said, maybe we need to keep the door down. I said, absolutely, don't open the door. He said, a lot of people want to look in the garage. Friends, do not put your faith in things because they delight at first. But after a little bit of time, like Christmas presents with toys for children, 2 days later, they're not being played with or they're broken and thrown away. Jesus Christ is the one often called the Prince of Peace. And I am recommending him to you today as the way to inner peace. And so now this morning, I want to share this way of peace and joy with you, because Jesus is the way to peace and joy. He is a trusted bridge over the troubled waters of this crisis that we're in. But I have to ask the question, who is this person called Jesus? And how can he promise us so much? After all, Jesus claimed to be our strongest link with God. And Jesus says through him that we could be joined to the Heavenly Father. And these are his words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said he is the way to God. He is the truth about God. And he is the life of God. When we have Jesus present with us, we are never completely alone. We are, in fact, in the presence of God himself, who is all life, all hope, and all joy. In Jesus Christ, time and eternity come together. The human and the divine become one as the Spirit of God flows through us. Jesus himself is that river of life, for he said, I'm going to ask you to read this with me on the screen. John 4:14. Would you read it with me? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. Jesus is the mirror in which we behold the love of God, for he said, he that has seen me has seen who? The Father. In Jesus we see the Heavenly Father, and we see his desire to see us have eternal peace and joy beginning right now. So too, Jesus is the bridge over the chasms of our fearfulness, the chasms of our loneliness, and the chasms of our lostness. Jesus Christ is a bridge over the troubled waters of our inner struggles and wars. As the Bible says, grace be unto you. And what? Peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, if there's ever a time we've needed a rock solid foundation on Jesus Christ, it's today. Don't leave it any longer. If you've got a Bible reading plan that starts January 1, 2022, then friends, I'm asking you to start it now. 2022 is going to be a very, very evil and very, very bad year. Add it up, 2 + 0 + 2 + 2. That is not going to be a very good year. And those who plan and run this world have planned a terrible, terrible year for us. This is the time. This is the day of salvation. Friends, I beg you, do not leave it any longer to sign up with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. But do we really need Jesus? Do we need that peace and joy that he gives? This is possibly the most important question that you'll ever have to consider. And that's why you should take time now to consider it. So let's examine the facts carefully. Remember when Jesus began his ministry on earth at the age of 30? The prophet known as John the Baptist immediately recognized him as our sin bearer, the one who would become our salvation from the power of sin. And John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and announced, what did he say? Behold who? God's Lamb who takes away how many sins? the sins of the whole world, your sins and mine. Not with might and armies did Jesus come, but with meekness and humility. He came not to be honored by men for his greatness and wisdom, but to die as the divine sacrifice for us. When Jesus began his active ministry, Satan the devil tempted him to be someone other than the Lamb, to live up to his potential, so to speak, to be a miracle worker, a political deliverer, a king of all earthly kingdoms. Satan wanted Jesus to be anything other than the Lamb of God, the divine sacrifice. And Satan tempted Jesus to think of himself, to even avoid that coming cross. But Jesus knew that unless he became the divine sacrifice, there would be no life for us. There would be no joy for us. There would be no peace for us. And there would be no hope for us. So Jesus chose the way of sacrifice, the way of the cross. And what did he say? And I, if I be what? Lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Friends, we know what that means, but the disciples had no idea what that meant. They didn't understand what the lifting up was. So Jesus, the Lamb of God, draws us to him. And if we look at him, do not resist his love, we'll be drawn to him. That is the power of love. And you know what? Jesus shows us the power of love, but what was Satan interested in? He was interested in the reverse. He's into reversals. He was interested in not the power of love, but the love of power. Friends, the power of Jesus' love is God's weapon against the power of sin and the devil. I had a young lady ring me from North Queensland. She said, Pastor, I saw your sermon online, the sermon. I said, oh, okay, I always go quiet when people say that. Never know what's coming. She said, Pastor, I've been out of the church for 25 years. And I went back to the church and the same sermon's being preached as in the 90s. See, not everyone's as blessed as you are to be hearing pleasant, present truth. And not just to hear, but this is a church that seeks out present truth and present truth preachers. One of my present truth preachers goes for 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's what I call a long sermon. She said, I feel I've left it too late to come back to Jesus. And so what do you think I talked to her about? What did the Lord put in my mind to tell her? Who's this? Did this guy leave it a little bit late for Bible studies? Did he leave it a little bit late for baptism? Leave it a little bit late for church membership? Did he leave it a little bit late to witness to people? Yeah. But, yeah, no, because he had Jesus. He had Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. So I was able to encourage her, tell her it wasn't too late, and I was able to pray with her on the phone. She brought her husband on, and we were able to talk about their plans for the future and how God was leading them and blessing them. They wanted to get out of debt. They wanted to downsize. They wanted to go bush. And you know what? Pretty much everyone who phones me is saying they're singing off the same sheet. I don't have to talk them into anything. They already tell me, this is what the Lord's saying. This is what we feel we should do. This is what we want. This is where we want to go. And I'm saying, this is amazing. Because right now, I think we've seen that the latter rain has been poured out. What do you say, folks? Isn't that right? The latter rain has been poured out. So, friends, the power of his love is God's weapon against the power of sin and the devil. What's God's weapon? One word? Love. How do we know this? Because we're told that, not that God's character is love. What are we told about him? What are we told about him? He is love. He's the source of love. He's the fountain of love. How incredible is that? And love will win, and we must let ourselves be loved by Jesus. As we behold Jesus on the cross, we'll realize our own need, our own loneliness and helplessness. We realize that we're sinners, unable to help ourselves become freed from sin and its power. The Bible sums it up very clearly that all have sinned. How many? all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, this is something that you and I are praying about every day, that we will be overcomers. There's no exception. There's none who are free from sin and its effects, and sin means death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin are death, but how well you and I know this is only too true. We've seen the graves of young and old, haven't we, especially the young? And we've felt the tug of grief upon our hearts because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So what can we do? We're in desperate trouble. We're all on death row. Can we live better lives? Will that somehow save us? No. If not, how can we be saved? Friends, there's no way we can save ourselves. Therefore, we need someone to save us. We need a Savior, someone who can come into our world, our lives, and give us the gift of salvation and eternal life. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the verse doesn't end there, thank God. If it did, our situation would be miserableless and hopeless. Our road of life would be a dead end. Would you read the verse with me? But the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, God's way of salvation comes in a person. It comes in a package. It doesn't come in a system. It's so powerful. It's such a blessing. And so God gives us his Savior, Jesus Christ. And salvation is ours for the accepting by believing it's a free gift. There's no way that we can pay for that. As the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, the gift of salvation and life God provided because of his great heart of love. And Jesus took time to explain this to Nicodemus, a rabbi who came to see him one night in Jerusalem. What did Jesus tell him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the gift of eternal salvation for all who believe on him and follow and obey. When God gave Jesus to this world, it wasn't a gift he was to take away again. No, he gave Jesus to us for all eternity. And on the cross, Jesus died to assure us of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Jesus came as an ambassador of peace and joy to reconcile us with God. As the Bible says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Amen. What a precious thing. Through Jesus Christ, friends, we can be at peace with God. And that means being at peace with ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves for our sins because we're forgiven in God. Jesus took the first step to bring us back to God, the source of peace. The Bible says God continually commends his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus made the first move. So how can you and I get this gift of life? Is it enough to say, yes, I'll take it? The Bible tells us the only way to receive this gift is that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in where? His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no life outside of a relationship with Jesus. Life is in Jesus. It's not something we already have. Eternal life can only come from him. And Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we have Jesus in our lives, we have life in our lives. As Paul said, Christ living in us is what? Our only hope of glory. Christ in us means a more abundant life now and eternal life to come. It means peace and joy now and an eternity of joy to come. Knowing Jesus is what the Christian life is all about, and through him we can have a living, vital relationship with God. Jesus described this relationship in this way. He said, I am the vine, ye are the what? The branches. To believe in Jesus means to trust him, to rely on him, to be connected with him. It means maintaining a daily personal relationship with him, letting his life flow throughout all your life. Friends, people say, one day I'm going to kneel down and I'm going to pray more and I'm going to start reading the Bible. Can I tell you that when you start that process, it takes 12 to 18 months for God's word to come and fill your heart and for all the worldliness to start to seep out of you. You don't automatically, after the first morning of connecting with God, automatically get all of the gifts that he has. It takes a while for that sponge of your life to be full of the Holy Spirit. It takes perseverance and prayer. So when you think, well, as soon as I've sort of like done a week of Bible study, I'll be there. No, it's not. Sanctification is the work of a what? It's the work of a lifetime. So I'm telling you, cancel January 1, 2022. All right? Cancel that. Put it back to in the morning. Start the morning with Jesus. Friends, I'm working my way through Proverbs. 5 chapters a day. You know, God bless me, because the last 2 months were very, very hard times. And you know what? God put me in Psalms. I was in the Psalms. I was with David. And I felt so uplifted. I was so uplifted by that experience. It was absolutely brilliant. To be a Christian means to live the life of Jesus Christ. And friends, to be a Christian means to daily surrender your life to him and allow him to help you meet the problems, joys and sorrows and sufferings in this life. I'm asking you now, do you need power to defeat sin, doubt, temptation? Do you need power to live for Christ? Do you need power to rebuild a broken home? Do you need power to restore a broken life? Where and how can you find that kind of power? Here is the secret. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. What's the Greek word? Thank you. I knew you'd know that, Steve. Dunamos. From dunamos we get dynamite. There is the power. You are given to become, ladies, I'll add in there, the sons and daughters of God. Power to become the sons and daughters of God. Friends, power comes from being connected to the divine power giver, Jesus. Without a living connection with him, we would be like a disconnected lamp, unable to shine. Only when we are connected to the electricity of Christ's power can we have his power flowing through us. How powerful is the power of Christ? It's powerful enough to raise the dead. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus' power is strong enough to help you overcome any evil habit, any temptation. Through Jesus' power, we can be born again and start a new life right now. Through his power, our motives, desires, and goals can be changed and redirected toward a godly life. The amazing fact is this wonderful power comes to us through the death of Jesus Christ, and our death to our own selfishness. And as we behold Jesus dying on the cross, a cross that was really set up for us, dying for sins that were not his but ours, we are drawn to such a loving sacrifice. We're moving, we're shaken, we're changed. And Jesus said this would happen. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all of mankind unto me. As we look at Jesus, our Savior, we sense the power of his goodness and his love toward us. We realize we're just as responsible for his death as those who drove the nails into his hands and feet. His love and goodness lead us to feel deep sorrow for our sins, sins that put him on the cross. And we feel his love and we want to repent of our sins. The Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. There's nothing in us. The Holy Spirit works on our hearts. Repentance means being sorry for our wrongdoing and turning away from sin. Friends, my definition of repentance is this: being sorry enough to quit, not sorry we got caught. Think about it. So friends, you know, we can't even repent on our own. It's the goodness and love of Jesus that lead us to repent and confess our sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's two things. What is it? Faithful and just and honest. He's competent to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. And that's what I had to reassure that young lady who rang me. She was not sure if she'd left it too late to be forgiven. And I told her the good news is that it's never too late while we're breathing a breath. Friends, Why don't we turn to Jesus now? Why don't we allow him to become the source of goodness and love in our life? Why don't we want him to forgive us our sins and remove the guilt from our past? He wants to give you a new life, a free conscience, because big bad Will can become sweet William now. He wants to give your strength to help you keep growing your life for him. As the Apostle Paul said, I can do how many things? All things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Is there anyone who's memorized this and using this on a daily basis? I am. Is there anyone else who's quoting that scripture? I see hands. God bless you. That is a powerful thing. When the devil comes to you with doubt and discouragement and depression, give him that. I can do how many? All things through who? Myself? Through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who strengthens me. What do you say? You may think the temptations are too strong, but Christ will give you power to overcome every temptation. You may think that the Christian life is too difficult, but Christ will give you power to live it joyfully and successfully. Friends, is it worth living for Jesus? What do you say? Is it worth living for Jesus? I say, my testimony is this. If I live this life and there's no heaven, then I would still live this life with Jesus if there was no second coming, because this has been the best and the highest quality life I could ever live. Does anyone feel that that is their story as well? I see a hand. Thank you, Brother Dave. Friends, is it worth living for him? It certainly is. 1,000 times yes, and he can take the discords and the harmony, disharmony out of your life. You know, much of the worry and lack of peace in our hearts comes because of a guilty conscience. Our sins worry us. We won't admit it, but they become a terrible burden on us and on our hearts. And with sin and guilt in our lives, there can be no peace. What did the scripture say? There is how much peace? No peace, saith my God, to the who? To those who hang on to their sins, the wicked. But if we confess and forsake our sins, we need never worry about them anymore. Jesus promises this. He that covereth, read it with me. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Friends, you might think you're covering your sins by those boulders and hiding them, but nothing is hidden from the eye of God. Jesus wants to take your sin and bury it under his blood. What do you say? He's our Savior from sin. He died on the cross for our sins. Friends, I'm asking you now to come to Jesus with all of your sins. Accept him as your Savior. Believe that he died for you and rose again to give you forgiveness and eternal life. And when you believe this, then you will find a new peace flowing through you. What did Jesus say? Read this one with me. I'm trying to counteract you puffing on your own CO2. All right, I'm trying to keep you awake. So would you read this with me? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friends, Jesus wants to bring you a peace that passeth all understanding. Because Jesus Christ is the only hope of a lost and ruined world, but he is a gloriously sufficient hope, and he is all we sinners need. He died for us, he rose for us, he lives for us, and now he intercedes for us, and he loves us. Now, when I move to the Wauchope area, there's a man at Port Macquarie I want to go and see. And his name is Phil Mackay. And he painted that on his digital computer. I don't even think painting's the right word, but he constructed that. Friends, these beautiful images bring us closer to the beautiful Jesus. And friends, you need to be reading Erling writings, as Kylie told us in the children's story. Do you know why? Because Ellen White says that Jesus moves from where to where. He's moving from the HP to the MHP. He's moving from where? The holy place to the most holy place. But the woman of God told us that most of God's people stay where? In the holy place, and they do not move to the most holy place. This disturbs me. This is very, very serious. The majority of God's people do not move with Jesus ahead. because they're not forsaking, confessing, and the word that is not valued, overcoming sins. Seven promises to overcomers. Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. Go in and copy out those seven promises. Put them on a sheet on your mirror in the morning, and as you're putting your face on, men and ladies, or guys taking your face off, then start memorizing seven promises to overcomers. Friends, I want to tell you that a lot of people think they're sliding into heaven on the magic carpet ride. I can actually say this at Dora Creek without being crucified. Friends, it is going to take all your effort and willpower to have Jesus residing in your heart. Jesus first, last, and best in everything. Amen? And the world is going to try and crush you and squeeze Jesus Christ out of your life. It is trying to destroy your spiritual life, rob you of God's divine name in your body, YHVH. It's going to rob you of that. Friends, I'm warning you that you and I need a divine, daily, momentary connection. And the thing that I'm doing more and more is I'm memorizing the scriptures and I'm quoting scripture during the day. That's not something I was doing a year or 2 years ago. Why am I doing that? Because the battle is coming to me. It's coming into my face. It's crushing the life out of me. Friends, is anyone on this journey? Am I on my own? Very quiet. Is anybody else on this journey with me? Amen. Memorizing scripture. Thank you. Quoting scripture, asking Jesus, Jesus, what do I do about this? The old man says, I know what to do, I'm going to do this. No, put it before the Lord. I've had family members who bought blocks of land and they were a disaster and money was lost. And they said, where was God? And I said, brother, if you are going to buy a block of land, you have to put that before the Lord. Because if you buy something wrong, then is that God's fault if you didn't ask him? Is that God's fault? That's not God's fault. But God gets the blame for everything and anything. Anyhow, I'm sorry I've started to preach. I'll just go back here and calm down and I'm finishing now. All right. Got to find out where I'm up to. I was just telling you that Jesus Christ is the only hope of a lost world. These are the facts from God's word. But what you do with them will make an eternal difference in your life. I'm going to ask you now, do you love life? Do you want the happiest, most fulfilled life possible? Then friends, seek it from the life giver Jesus. He's the only way to life. For there is, read it with me, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friends, of all the religions in the world, Christianity is exclusive, isn't it? What are we seeing on the television? What are we seeing on YouTube? Are all the religious groups all separate now? Or what are we seeing? They're all coming together. Are we coming together with them? Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yeah, George, you know. We are coming together with them and we are a part of them. And we just did a big study of the second angel's message, which was Babylon the Great is what? Is fallen. And are we to be running into Babylon? Are we to be running into Babylon? Or are we to be calling the people out? And some of you know in the prophecy seminar on Wednesday night, I had a photograph of a fireman. Do you remember that? I had a fireman on the ladder and the man was inside the house and it was burning. And the man was like this. And the fireman was at the window trying to rescue him. Friends, people are offended if you tell them they're in Babylon. What's Babylon? Well, you guys are not in Babylon, are you? Yes, you are. What is your main God? What's the main God in your life? Don't answer. I've got enough problems myself without hearing yours. All right? So whatever the main God is in your life, you have to smash that and you have to destroy that and you have to ask God to break that God down. It can be good things. Can it be good things? I spend all time with my family. I'm advancing my career. I spend 24/7 on my job and not on my family. There's good things in life. We have gods. You've got to get rid of your gods. Friends, don't leave it any longer. And that came to me because those gods are not going to take you to heaven. There's no other what? There's no other name. I'm sorry, Christianity is exclusive. This is not all roads lead to Rome. This is one road leads to heaven. Right? One road. How many roads? One road. The narrow path. Is this what's being preached? Everyone come together. Everybody love each other. Doesn't matter what religion you're from. Doesn't matter what group you're from. We're all together. We're all marching to a one world church. We're all marching to a one world government. The Great Reset. Sorry, preaching again. The greatest question, friends, you can ever answer is this. Do you know Jesus as your friend and saviour? Have you let him come into your life? Do you want him to be the boss of you? There was a show on TV a number of years ago where the little kid said, "You're not the boss of me now." That kind of stuck in my mind. And I started to think, who is the boss of me? Am I the boss of me? Or is Jesus the Lord and Saviour of my life? Friends, I've got some questions I want to ask you. Before we do, if only you had paid attention to my commands, you're what? Peace, we're going to read this together. This is from Isaiah 48:18 in a modern version. Let's read it. If only you had paid attention to my commands. What's the word commands really mean? My what? Commandments. Your what? Peace would have been like a what? What does that mean? Powerful and expansive. And in Egypt, the river goes over the banks and the alluvial soil and then the crops grow. Isn't a river a beautiful thing? When you go to your special property, what do you want? First thing you want, water, pure water. And your righteousness will be like the what? Your righteousness. We don't have any righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ in you, the what? The only hope of glory. Isn't that exciting? Friends, is it possible? You look in the mirror and you go, "Oh, I'm not going to make it." Friends, I ain't all that I ought to be, but I thank God I ain't what I used to be. Amen? All right? Let's rejoice over the changes that God's making in our lives. Praise God. I've got some questions. We are closing. Do you need power to live your life for Jesus? Answer these in your own mind. Do you need power? Number two, do you want cleansing and do you want a new start in Jesus? Do we need to take the lid off here and throw you in the font? Do we need to do that? No, because that happens at communion service. Next time I'm here, communion service. Second Sabbath in November. Friends, do you want to recommit your life to Jesus or commit your life to Jesus? Because what I'm preaching today is I'm actually preaching for a decision. Because Jesus is the what? The only way. The only way to peace and joy. The sad thing I noticed today is that Jesus is only one of many gods. He's only one of many gods. The thing that's most disturbing in a book I read on Vatican astronomers who were looking for ETs, that the ETs have come, and you know what they said? This has got to be one of the greatest blasphemies. They've told the leaders of our world that the Jesus that was sent to this planet is only one of thousands of Jesuses who went out across the universe to all the planets. Is that not a blasphemy? Jesus is unique and powerful and special, and we're told he's just a cookie cutter Jesus that came here, but there's thousands of other Jesuses, friends. This is a doctrine of devils. This comes to us from hell. And these guys are believing it because they believe these entities who we know as fallen angels are telling them truths from the universe because they're telling the leaders of the world that we are extraterrestrials, we're a higher race. And do you know what happens needs to happen in this world? This world has to be saved, not the people, but the what? The planet. You've got to save the planet. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come to save the planet or did he come to save the people? He came to save the people. So where's this message coming from? Oh, look, I'm sorry, I'm preaching again. Strong. All right. Is Jesus a loving Saviour? is he? If he's knocking at the door of your heart right now, and he's saying, I want to come into your life, or I want to come back into your life, I'm going to ask you, what are you going to say? Read it with me. Behold, sorry, wrong button. I'm out of practice, you know. Here we go. Behold, I stand at the door and if any man or woman or child hear my voice, are you hearing his voice now? And what? Open the door. I might come in and see you in a couple of weeks. What's the promise? When's it going to happen? Right now? If you ask him to come back in. That's wrong. Yeah, thank you. That's Revelation 3:20. Thank you so much. Friends, Jesus promises you that if you invite him in, he will come in. All you have to do is open the door of your heart to him and let him in. And when he comes in, you will find his way to peace and joy, and you will rejoice. How do we rejoice? Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again.